fruits. He didn't need the Holy Spirit, but he is the first fruits of the resurrection, which these things, like I said, these all tie in together in the second coming. Yeah. All these feasts tie in together at the second coming, and Pentecost, and the early rain, and the latter rain all tie in together too. So we started with our text in Leviticus 23. And all we're doing is back it up. Just kind of refreshing a little bit and then moving forward. We're going to look at Pentecost or Feast of Weeks. So Leviticus 23, 10 and 11 says, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye come into the land which I give unto you, shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And ye shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. So you can see that Christ was that first fruit of the sheaf. He was raised on the morrow after the Sabbath, so he's that first fruit. And then Exodus 23:19 tells us to bring it into the house of the Lord, which that's where he went. When he led captivity captive, he went into the house of the Lord. When you look at Pentecost, that's why I'm saying that all these seem to tie into the next feast. Yes. And they all tie together, and they all seem to be honored together at the same time. And so the morrow after the Sabbath, we were to count, right? 7 Sabbaths, that's 49 days, and on the 50th was the Feast of Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks of the Harvest. So, and the picture here is, well, let's look at it, 15 to 20, Leviticus 23, 15 to 20. And you shall count unto you on the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths be complete. Even unto the morrow after the Sabbath, 7 Sabbaths shall you number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. And you shall bring out of your house, out of your habitation, 2 wave loaves of 2 tenths deal, and they shall be fine flour, and they shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits. So there you go. There's the first fruits. Why? First of all, why 2 loaves with leaven?
Jew
and a Gentile.
With
their sin. Yeah. So that's where he meets us. He meets us in our sin, Jew and a Gentile, and what does that mean? That he's presenting it before the Lord. Yeah. Just like he did with the sheep. He presented it before the Lord. So he calls that the first fruits, and he calls Christ risen the first fruits. So we know by this that it's the Holy Spirit given. I said, what we're going to look at is there is a difference between your early rain and the latter rain and the first fruits of the Holy Spirit. People have always received the first fruit of the Spirit. They've always been presented, and we'll look at some of those verses. But the early rain and the latter rain is when it was poured out on a multitude of people, and you saw signs and wonders, things happened that have never happened before.
Now, it says a fine flour. How do you get fine flour?
Sifted.
Amen.
You got to sift, yeah.
In the human realm,
that's right.
He's going to shake this stuff up.
Yeah.
And the rocky stuff, the things that are not pure, the things that can't be filtered through, is the dividing of the tares and the wheat.
Yeah.
So, all right? And he's shaking this stuff out.
Yeah.
And only the finest, only the purest, only the ones who truly trust Christ will be even invited into the final days.
That's right. And what does he say about the last days? Not only am I going to shake the earth,
yes,
I'm going to shake the heaven. And the only things to be able to stand are those things that are not shaken. That's this group that gets it right here. That's why we're so small.
Amen.
It really is. This is why you're so small. Now, I'm starting to realize this. The more you believe in this, and the more you see that this is accurate, and the doctrines of men are wrong, the smaller the church is getting.
The more separated.
That's right. The more separated we are. But the bigger you are, the more people that you have to water down the gospel for, the bigger the church is going to be. And there's some people that are in for a rude awakening.
Yeah. Amen. sifting, and those who can't fit through that sieve, they God takes them out.
That's right.
All
right,
so they can't stand the doctrine. They can't stand the truth. So God says, all right, you can't go with them because you won't humble yourself to what I'm saying. You won't kill that flesh that's still in you. Be right with you. And so it filters through, and God takes the lumps out. Go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
So is that, no, is it the sand that stands up to that?
It's the people who trust in the world's way rather than Yahweh.
Yeah, and that's it. My God is dealing with the believer's sin. If you are truly a believer, you are coming along better than you were a year ago, 20 years ago. But like Curtis said too, he is also dealing with that with the world too.
Yeah.
So it is twofold. One thing we've taught here is your Bible, the Word of God, this relationship we have, Christianity, it's dimensional.
Yeah.
It's dimensional. You just can't just apply one thing to it and say, well, that's just it.
And you can see the doctrine of dispensationalism.
That's right.
How it reinforces.
That's right.
Right.
How could God warn us that there's going to be a falling away, a departing from the faith, when people are saying, you can't lose it?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Clearly, he's not a different God in the Old Testament than is he in the New Testament. He says, I'm God, I change not. Psalm 57 says, take not thy Holy Spirit from me.
Yeah.
So if it could have been taken from David, it could be taken from you too. Just because you make this profession of faith, did your heart change? Was there a change in your life? Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Lance.
Part of that harvest is going to be burned. And it says that the earth is well.
It's right.
I mean, you can see where the Bible is, has different dimensions,
Absolutely.
To it, or different layers to it, where, there's a deeper understanding.
Well, and even in numerology we've been looking at the last couple of days, that even those numbers are dimensional. The number 7 does not just mean 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It is dimensional.
So, when we're talking about that 49 plus 1, the days between the ending of the first fruit celebration, 49 plus 1, so 50 days.
That's right.
I have it written down. What numerical significance?
Oh, we're getting into
it. Okay.
We'll get into it. Yeah.
2/10 of deals.
Yeah, I don't know. If anybody has an idea, is the seeding of the lamb in its mother's milk. I don't understand that. I don't understand.
Refrain from the word numerology?
Numerology. We know you didn't mean that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2/10. Now think about this. They're measures of weight of deals of a certain portion. He's talking about at the end of the Pentecost period, the way that these things are separated. 2/10. Only 10% of the Gentiles. Only 10% of the Jews will God deal with. Everybody else goes.
And 10 is the number of the law.
It's the number of the law.
I mean, maybe it shows you how straight and narrow the path is. I don't know.
Yeah.
And it's one of these things. I like that comment. I think Paul said something about seeding a kid in its mother's milk that it is to be pure. It's not to be an infant. There's something. But I truly don't understand some of these things, so I don't really want to comment on it.
Yeah, it's easy to misinterpret something.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot in the Bible though that is the same thing. It's just worded a different way to be relatable to those people at that time.
Yeah, because
at the end of days, like there's a lot of it that's repeated, but it's worded different.
It's the latter days.
Yeah, even the representation of like the what he's saying, like with the wheat and the tares.
That's right.
You have Armageddon. It's different, but it's still the same thing.
Absolutely, and can see that God is starting the process during these trumpets, that he's starting to burn things up.
Yeah.
So he is actually starting the process of refining the planet.
Yes.
Like you said all along, what are we going to live on, a burned up planet? No.
It really does make you appreciate the validity of the Bible, though. It really makes you see that there's no other book that's written like this.
Yeah.
And that's why or you must be born again.
That's right.
All right, you must be born again.
And I think this is what we've been talking about so far this morning is where a lot of churches get it wrong. They don't understand the Bible.
Right.
They really don't. They're trying to understand the Bible by secularism or doctrines of men that don't understand the Bible. We get it. We understand these things are spiritual, but spiritual to them means, well, not real.
Right.
But to us, spiritual is, yes, they are literal.
It is reality.
Yeah.
The spiritual
right?
is way more
Absolutely.
Real than what the physical
Yeah, I was thinking about this. I was going through, I like to go through Revelation once a month. I just like to read it straight through, and I did it the other day. And when you read of Christ, it says that he's coming on a horse, but he's the sword of his mouth.
Right.
So clearly, obviously, he's not shooting swords out of his mouth, right? But does that mean he's not coming on an angelic beast of a horse?
No, he is.
There is an animal that we are riding that are horses, but yet, how do I know that he's not shooting swords out of his mouth? Because he says that the word of God is the sword of his mouth.
There you go.
See, this is how you understand the Bible.
That's
right. Yes.
Ephesians chapter 6, right? Talks about the sword of the Spirit. Hebrews. Amen.
You know, it says that he has that he's sharper than the two-edged sword. You know who has a two-edged sword? Mystery Babylon.
Right.
It says she is a two-edged sword, but he's sharper than that sword. Go ahead, bud.
When they go to Bible college, it's like they have the Bible mapped out for them.
Right.
They don't have to study.
Well, they
that's
have
right.
something mapped out, but it's not scripture.
That's right.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. Like, they believe, you know, they know the entire thing. And
right.
You know.
I think the issue, though, is you come to the Bible with a theological system. So, you have dispensationalism, right? You impose it on scripture.
Right.
You have covenant theology, you impose it on scripture.
Right.
You don't just do what we call exegesis, where you're just extracting, producing meaning, using the analogy of faith. Comparing scripture with scripture.
That's right.
That's the proper way to study.
Exactly.
Not bringing a man-made system.
That's right.
Bible, so how do we squeeze into that system?
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
So, so then that's how you can come up
I like
with
the
rapture and all this stuff.
Yeah. I like that. These are words made up by man.
Mm-hmm.
We are to understand the scripture by comparing scripture with scripture. Nancy, you had something?
Yeah, I was just going to say that I didn't see a comparison with the whole taking the whole armor of God with the sword of the Spirit.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
If
okay.
If you don't
so
know the word, you do not know the God you're about.
That's right.
If you do not know the word, who are you? Whose servant are you? You don't.
We lost somebody here because they feel that they were hearing from God outside of this.
Right.
No. No. You don't. You don't. You don't know God outside of this.
Yeah.
Anything spoken into your heart and into your soul that is coming from another realm, it better match this, or something's lying to you, no matter how good or how holy it sounds.
Right.
It better compare it to this.
Amen.
This is the standard, not my feelings or what I want to think.
Well, how many here have been misled by their feelings?
Absolutely.
I've never been misled by the Word of God, but feelings have lied to me.
It's the Word of God that told me the pre-trib rapture is nothing but a big lie.
Yeah.
The Word of God. I believed it, but the Word of God exposed the darkness.
Right. Absolutely. Yes.
And even saying, like, okay, but how could all these great men of God be wrong? You know, Chuck Smith, go down the whole list of your favorite radio key. But it's like, but again, if you use the Bible as a standard, like, but like in Jeremiah's day, the majority.
That's right. Look at the prophets in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
There was a few of them, but the majority of them spoke against
how can all, so that assumes that majority's right all the time.
That's right.
How can all these great men?
Well, did the majority reject Jesus Christ, or did the majority accept him? Lance.
Feelings demotivate us, or they cripple us.
That's right.
That's why, like, the intentions of, man's heart is, wicked.
Continually on people.
That's right. Okay, so
that's why you have to follow God too, with your heart, because that is that motivation. If you have the right heart condition, and God gives that to you.
Yeah, and that's a good point too. And we've said that all along too. You can try to understand all this stuff and times, but if Jesus Christ is not at the center of it, this is knowledge that comes up. It's all it's my arguing point against this person, that person. But if it is not centered around Jesus Christ, the Savior, and that's your relationship you're looking for, it's all folly.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're looking at the first fruits to form. We know that Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out. But and the point I'm trying to make is the Holy Spirit was always given up until that point. And if you turn to 1 Peter 1, and I'll give you some verses that talks about that. Pharaoh talked, when he talked about Joseph, he said, Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such one as this man whom the Spirit of God is? So he was aware that Joseph had the Spirit of God on him, right? Exodus 28, 2 and 3, and thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty, and thou shalt speak unto all that are wise, that's a Holy Spirit word, wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the Spirit of wisdom, that's a Holy Spirit word, and they shall make Aaron's garments and consecrate him, and they shall minister unto me in the priest's office. Numbers 14:23. This is, I think, Caleb. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and followed me fully, him will I bring into land, whither he went, his seed shall possess it. So Caleb, who was the other one that had the spirit in him?
Joshua.
Numbers 27:18. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man of whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him. So there you go. You can see the Holy Spirit was given in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I think that there's this view, you know, while the Old Testament, in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. Yeah, that's true. But we know why. Because Christ couldn't send the Holy Spirit into you until he was crucified and went up.
Right.
That's the same thing in the Old Testament and New Testament.
Yeah, Jesus said that in John 14.
That's right.
Unless I leave.
That's right. That's right. Well, he never came in the Old Testament.
Right. Amen.
So that's why he had to rest on people. Mm-hmm. Don't forget, there were people that the Spirit was taken up. David said, please don't take the Holy Spirit from me.
Saul.
Which means it can be taken. Mm-hmm. Saul had taken. Who spoke to Balaam?
Yeah.
Right? Both, mm-hmm. The Lord spoke to Balaam by Spirit.
By
you
donkey.
Know? That's right. So clearly you can see that, you know, he's the same God in the Old Testament as he is in the New Testament.
Yeah.
So, and then you'll hear people say, well, you're sealed to the day of redemption. Well, he can unseal things. He unseals things throughout the whole Bible.
If I'm not mistaken, sealed unto the day of redemption means once you've accepted Christ, he is in you.
That's right.
And then on that day of redemption, when you're redeemed,
that's right.
All things are going to be exposed. That's where the sifting of wheat. Are you wheat or are you a tare?
And that's right? The constant warning.
It's
in
that
constant. How many is
he?
Well,
he can touch you.
That's right.
Yeah, the Lord touches you.
Sure, absolutely. He has to. You can't just make a claim and then you're good to go. He has to put that to the test. And well, people will say, well, isn't that faith by works? No. If it is a faith, it is not of works. So that's how, I mean, it just,
you know,
Jake, do they not block people's dance out?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, works is the evidence of your faith. Do you really believe? Right here, I'm going to test you in that, and then what you do next.
That's
will
right.
Really prove what you believe about God.
And so you want to make sure you're in his kingdom, in his realm, and under his sanctification and authority. Abide.
Amen.
This is on you. You abide. If you abide, you're good to go. You don't have to worry about anything.
Right. Amen.
As long as you have his hand, he has your hand.
That's right.
He's not letting go.
That's right.
You are.
Yes. He is completely sovereign. He is aware. He's in control of everything. He knows all things. Yes, I play a role in this.
Mm-hmm.
I play a role in it.
Intricate role.
That's right.
Your free will has
right.
to be turned to
absolutely.
His will.
Choose ye whom
you
will serve today.
Right.
Whether cursing or blessing.
Right.
We play a role in it. Where the railroad tracks meet, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I play a role in his salvation. So, and that's the point I'm trying to make, is the Holy Spirit was given. That's not the early rain. The early rain is when it was poured out on a multitude of people.
Right.
This is the first fruits of Pentecost that people had in the Old Testament. So, 1 Peter 5 talks about these prophets too, or people that had the Spirit in the Old Testament. 1 Peter 1, I'm sorry, 1, 5 to 13. For an inheritance incorruptible and its Holy Spirit, the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed 7 years before the tribulation. Last time.
Yeah.
Where ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, there it is, Kevin, he will try you. You don't just get to say something and you're good to go. He's going to try that. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor, unto glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. When does he appear?
At the end.
Right? Whom, having not seen, ye love. Isn't it? Right? I've never seen him.
Right.
But I love him.
Mm-hmm.
I owe him everything. He's changed our lives.
Yeah.
I love him.
You believe me because you've seen me?
That's
great,
right.
Is these who believe and have not yet seen me.
Sorry about faith.
That's right. It just hit me. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have required and searched diligently, who prophesied of grace,
Mm-hmm.
What's been dispensed?
Grace.
Of grace that should come unto you, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when they testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. So here you go. They had the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, they're looking at us and they're going, how are you going to save them?
Yeah.
Right? We look at them. We look at them. Well, how were they saved? Or we look at Jewish people. How are you going to save them? They were looking forward and saying, how are you going to save Gentiles?
Yeah.
Where do they fit in all this?
But until it occurred.
That's right.
Until it occurred, because that was his plan all along.
Absolutely.
They without us, right?
That's right.
And
the same plan for them is the same plan for us.
Yes.
And even the disciples didn't believe until Christ was resurrected.
That's right.
Right?
Several times
it says that they didn't believe until they saw his glorified body.
That's right.
They heard about it before then, but
didn't believe.
It's not part one, part two.
Right.
They didn't understand it.
Right.
They didn't even understand it. Where are you going?
Yeah.
What do you mean you're going?
You can't die. You're the Lord. Get thee behind me.
And we're students here of the Scriptures of the New Testament. I constantly read where he's telling them that.
Yeah.
They're going to take me away. They're going to kill me. Constantly through the Gospels.
Yeah.
And yet they're going, what does he mean by that?
Yeah. You're not going. They're not going.
Faith is funny because they're in there praying for Peter to be released. He gets released, and then they don't go.
Peter.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like they conflated the first and second coming. That was the common thinking is, they didn't see the separate the suffering.
Right.
There'd be a big span, and then there'd be the second.
Yeah. And that
they saw it all as one. And that's why, obviously, the Antichrist, he'll be the conquering king in Jerusalem, and obviously we'll see him as a
fall for it.
Right, because he's going to come and make an earthly kingdom.
And he comes first.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah, and then this is, they believed in dual messiahs. You know, where they didn't really have, they thought the first one was going to pay the price. They thought the second
one. It was like Bar Kokhba or something, like in the second century, I believe he claimed to be a messiah and all that. So there have been, someone will come in his name.
What
is this spring dispensationalism? Hebrews 11, by faith. And even David, who committed what we call, not that we call Catholics, called mortal sin, we call it a death penalty sin, committed adultery, and then Jude sin in Romans. So that shows you no one was saved by the law.
Nathan said the Lord had put it behind him.
Right. So he was saved by grace
in
the Old Testament.
And would nullify
so
the eyes of the Lord.
That should show you that this whole system.
So it's been dispensed through human history. God's
grace.
Nobody gets saved without God's grace. They can keep the law.
Well, nobody can even seek after God unless God calls them first.
That's right.
You don't even have the ability to look for God.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so there's Old Testament saints that had the Holy Spirit put on them, right? They're going to be harvested at the end of the world.
Yeah.
Well, the New Testament is the same offer here, John 14.
Mm-hmm.
John 14, Doug,
yeah.
1 through 3. And then 15 to 19.
1 through 3 and then 15 to 19?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3 first. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also.
Okay, just hold it right there. If he's going and he's coming, it does not say that all of a sudden we disappear and we're in heaven. He's coming for us. This is another pre-trib. The reason I want to bring this up is this is another destruction of pre-trib. He says he's coming for us. The pre-tribbers say, oh, we just disappear. We go
or we go to him. Right?
And he's saying, I'm coming.
Yeah.
If I leave, I'm coming. Coming where? In the clouds.
Well, the same thing when the disciples saw him being ascending. The angel said,
that's
don't
right.
you know he's going to return
that's
the
right.
same
exactly.
way?
Exactly. And we'll get into that as we move towards Acts and Pentecost.
Yeah.
But
he was saying that people that believe on him knows where he goes.
Right.
That's right.
There you go.
That's right. Go ahead.
And they know Jesus, because Jesus is the way. So
that's right.
The way, you know.
So six, then 15 to 19, Doug?
Okay. If you love me, keep my commandments.
Well, come on.
And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that ye may be able, that ye may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also.
There you go. Nancy, 15, 1 through 8, and then let me just finish here on 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost,
yeah.
whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things.
Right. Come on.
And bring all things into your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Whatsoever I have said unto you.
Right.
Whatsoever I have said unto you,
mm-hmm.
he's going to bring them into your remembrance, and he is going to teach you all things.
Amen.
Not outside of this.
Right.
These are, I am, the volume of the book is written of me. He's going to teach you things that I said, not just some thoughts that you had in your head.
I'm not going to remind you of everything Chuck Missler said.
That's right.
Or, Joseph,
or some spirit.
You know, some spirit, you know.
Right? Or some spirit that
right.
says, you know, don't listen to them. You know,
mm-hmm.
This is scripture, but it's not the word of God.
Right.
Yeah, it is. This is scripture, and this is the word of God.
Right.
That comforter is the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And
yeah.
He is. He comforts you. Jesus is the truth.
Yeah.
See, we don't understand this. He's not just some force.
Right.
He's not Casper or some energy that you plug into what. He is a person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand it, but I believe it.
Right.
Go ahead, Nancy.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gathereth them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples.
Comment? I mean,
Kenzo.
Right, right. Where do you start? First of all, he says, we're the fruit.
Right.
What fruit? The first fruits. The receiving of the Holy Spirit. That's how he draws you in. By receiving the Holy Spirit, you are the first fruit that is promised to the believer. There's the fruit. And what does he say? You better bear fruit.
Yeah. All right.
There
so
better be evidence.
So how does one begin as a branch in the vine? Can you be a branch in the vine without being born again?
No.
No. Okay, so every branch in me that beareth not fruit,
yep.
he taketh away.
Yep.
What do you say though? Like, so within Israel, it's, Paul writes, not all Israel is Israel.
Right.
Right.
Only those of faith.
Right.
So can't you be connected to Christ externally? You could even say externally in Christ without truly being in Christ.
Well, those folks, Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 7, they'll come and be saying, Lord, Lord.
Yeah, correct.
But only the get away from me, you who work iniquity.
Right.
And he cast them out. So they thought, they prophesied, they made disciples, well, they didn't make disciples, they prophesied, they did many great works.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
And in that, God says, listen, I never knew you.
Right.
You knew me. I never knew you.
That's right.
You came to church, you had an external looking of Christ,
right.
but there was no internal relationship with me.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. Yeah, and I'm just saying, I think like, I was looking at Matthew 15, every plant that my Heavenly Father is not planted shall be rooted up.
Yeah.
Right.
The ones that are cast out because of the Father, those are the ones that haven't been truly planted in Christ. Even
right.
They haven't been connected.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean they're hopeless. There's still
no.
hope until he appears
mm-hmm.
or until he takes your last breath. But the warning there is, you say you're my children, you say you're my believers, and you bear no fruit.
Right.
There's no evidence
There's no
of
evidence.
It. You're not.
Right.
Well, I say, go ahead.
Okay. Ezekiel 33 talks about those that are righteous.
That's
right.
right.
And if they stop their
That's
righteousness,
their
he'll,
righteous.
he'll
yes.
forget all the righteousness
right.
as if they never
as
did
As if
anything.
They never did
now,
right.
now, that's exactly the way he forgets the sin
mm-hmm.
when somebody becomes righteous, cast it as far as east from the west. I think it's a flip side.
Yeah.
Ezekiel 33.
There's
exactly.
always a head to the
right.
tail.
Right.
There's always a head.
And
head.
What is he saying, Ezekiel? He said, because they trusted in their own righteousness.
Well, listen, the Pharisees, though, the Pharisees were not truly righteous.
That's
he
right.
Says, you appear righteous.
That's right.
So they didn't commit adultery. They weren't, like, they kept the law outwardly.
Mm-hmm.
Paul says, as touching the law, I was blameless. We
right.
can't say righteous externally. But when he, then obviously covetousness, his sin nature was inflamed.
Absolutely.
But he could say, just like the rich young lawyer says, all these I've kept, Jesus didn't say, no, you didn't. But then he challenged him on the commandment of
the patent.
Right. right. And now he's guilty.
Yeah.
But he could say that with all honesty. I've kept the law, at least
yeah.
externally,
yeah.
without the new birth.
Within his own righteousness, he believed it, which no man is righteous in his own righteousness. My righteousness is on Jesus Christ.
You can be morally correct and still incorrect in Christ's
yeah.
eyes.
Yeah.
You can do all the right things. You never lied, you never cheated, you didn't cuss, you know.
Right.
But you're born a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
And without the rebirth, none of those works matter.
I mean, he made it clear there, every branch of me that beareth not fruit, he
yeah.
taketh away.
So there's
so,
a proving.
Yeah, there's a proving.
Doesn't that sound like the once enlightened?
Yeah, right.
The
sure.
ones that the,
sure.
the seed on stony ground,
yeah.
the seed in the thorns, would they believe?
Yeah.
But then that's taken away. It's,
yes.
it's kind of like what happened to Israel. They see the plagues of put on Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Then they see the parting of the Red Sea. They get water miraculously. They get food miraculously. And then what do? While Moses is up on the mountain.
That's right.
They reject all of that. They,
right.
they were in line. They saw God do that
right.
stuff
yeah,
and still wanted to go back to Egypt.
Yeah, I think it's great with
that. It says Simon the servant, it says himself also believed.
Yeah.
He was baptized, but that, then Peter had rebuked him.
Yeah.
He was still in all of bitterness.
Yeah, right.
So
he had
so he kind of believed. But don't you think, like, understanding belief, right? So people can have head knowledge, they can assent to truths. Oh, yeah, I believe.
Yeah.
I believe in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you go to the cell, everyone's a Christian. Everyone but more about hell, you know, in certain areas, and even up here, too. But, you know, so it's like, It's not, when you say believe, you got to understand what does that really mean.
Yeah.
Trusting. You're trusting in Christ's work, not your own.
Well, there's, like
not
you said, there's a knowledge, there's a mind belief.
Not just checking
that
the
is Christ
the fun
and then
of the faith, you know, check boxing. I believe
here's
it's
a
fun
quick
rules.
Check in our day. Do you believe God enough not to take the jab? Do you believe in God enough not to take this thing into your body? Is God going to provide for you? I don't see how. But I believe he will.
And, you know, and once again, like you say, I see you, Jake, but there's a belief. So people could believe in Christ, but but it has not changed their life. That's the belief from the heart.
Right.
It changes belief.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Romans 10, that you believe with your heart. That's right. So a lot of people have a head knowledge of Jesus Christ. A lot of people profess Jesus Christ. But it has not changed their heart. It has not changed their life. So they're false converts. Does that mean that they're hopeless? No.
I think there's two modes here.
Okay.
There's what you guys are saying, but if you look at John 15, he says those that are their branches, right?
Right.
We're grafted in as branches,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
If we're not grafted in, we can't be cut off and thrown in the fire, right?
Right.
Yep.
So you got to be grafted in.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're cut off and thrown in the fire, you're blotted out.
That
also, Christ said, let no man steal your crown.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So
yeah.
your crown can be stolen.
Yeah.
So if you allow, whether it's false doctrine.
Well, just unbelief. You allow unbelief.
Yeah. In Romans 11, Paul talks about the believers. He says, talking about the Israel, you know, the Hebrews that rejected Christ, he says, well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, for if God spared not the natural branches,
mm-hmm.
take heed lest he also spare not thee.
Right.
There's a warning.
Lord, therefore,
there's
the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness.
Right.
Otherwise, thou also shall be cut off.
Now that
so they were grafted in,
right.
but they can be cut off and burned.
Yeah.
Right.
And he makes it clear.
If thou continue.
Yes.
Most churches don't teach that if thou continue.
So that would be a human responsibility. And like you said earlier, like that God calls us to persevere and endure. It's not automatic that we have to get this out.
Yeah.
It's not just because of profession. But even in Hebrews 6, there has a warning passage that everyone knows, in verses 7. But then even verse 8, but that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected. That's
right.
But verse 9, he says, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and
right.
things that accompany salvation. The way I look at warning passages, they're the means by which God preserves people who are truly saved. And they're actually fulfilled.
Yeah.
As far as this will happen to you, if you fall away, then this is what. So don't just automatically, right? It talks about how the one that trembles at his word. It's like we're always supposed to be in that condition of trembling because we can't just rely on a past experience.
But he even talks about that I have not arrived yet. You know, that and you're not complete. You're not complete until you take
the
first step.
Right.
It's not our perseverance, it's our death. Like, if we die, Jesus Christ works
right.
through us.
Right. Has it changed your life?
Yeah,
has it changed your life?
Right.
If it hasn't, you're
day,
false confident.
Day to day.
That's
moment
right.
to moment.
And are you striving forward? You want to know if you're once saved, always saved? Abide.
There you go.
Abide. There, it's over with. You keep abiding, you're in.
And I think 1 John gives those tests.
Yeah.
Like, here's how you know if you do. You keep his commandments
right.
and love my brother.
Yeah.
So it's not just like walk the aisle.
Let me finish these verses, then we'll go, I think, Lance and then Jake. But let me just, so John 15:16 says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should bring forth fruit,
yes.
that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he shall give you. Verse 26. But when the Comforter shall come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth will proceed from the Father, and he shall testify of me. So, if someone is giving you false doctrine,
mm-hmm.
and they say they're a believer,
right? Amen.
They don't have the Spirit of truth
that's
in them.
The truth.
No.
Amen. That is gospel. That's
right.
True.
That's right.
If they're professing to know Christ, but they're teaching you something other than the Word of God.
That's right.
The written King James Version of the Word of God. Alright? Gotta keep that straight, because there's a lot of translations out there that are not God's Word. They're men put it together. NIV, ESV, NASBC, New King James.
That's
the
right.
list goes on.
And who gains by that?
Amen.
Who's filthy lucre?
Right.
Filthy lucre. They make money off the word of God, and God said, "How dare my."
But it all fits under Satan's plan.
That's right.
And if you're going to destroy something,
yes.
It's disgusting.
Do it from
within. It's disgusting. You know, like you said, you know that video that we're. I see.
Yeah.
I know going on.
That's
it's just Jesus. You know, about these big time pastors, these big time teachers and preachers that are making videos and selling books. That's filthy lucre. This is supposed to be for free.
Yeah. Right.
Jake that Lance.
Well, Christ said if you had her some tracks, you can plot it out.
There you go.
Yeah.
But Paul even warns Timothy. Remember, Timothy sat under Paul and was taught very thoroughly. And Paul says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So there's got to be perseverance.
There has to.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Lance.
It didn't matter how many miracles Jesus performed, because it was ultimately what they were going to follow. You know, and that really determines whether or not, you know, God, you know, chooses these people, like what, you know, what.
Yeah. They continued.
Yeah, he's not going to be like.
What did Judas continue? Did he believe with his heart?
And he wants like willful service,
right?
So, another thing too is like, you know, work out your salvation in trembling. That doesn't have to do with the fears of the world. That has to do with that burden,
right?
The torture state.
That's right.
So that's where that burden is, and it is a heavy burden.
Absolutely,
it's a huge. It's a heavy responsibility.
In Yeah, you done?
No, not yet.
Okay, go ahead.
So, John chapter 14, verse 27, talks about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, there should be a contentment. There should be a deep peace.
Yeah.
It says, peace I leave with you.
Yeah.
My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
Amen.
That's right.
So
that's what it's supposed to produce.
Yeah, we have this. A heavy responsibility. The more and more we learn, it's a burden to carry that torture stick. But there's also that contentment of peace we get from the Holy Spirit.
And stop trusting the knowledge of this world, the doctrines of man, secular humanism. Stop trusting in that, and keep trusting in the one that gives you peace. No matter what we go through, we know He is at the end of all.
It is well with our soul.
That's
you
right.
Don't have any circumstances.
Absolutely.
The fear of God has been so perverted in the churches.
Yeah.
Okay? We are supposed to fear God. I mean, scared to life.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Because that's what, there's nothing wrong. The Bible says over and over from the beginning to the end about the fear of God. That's just not reverencing
Him
because
right.
He's holy. But that's when He speaks, you drop.
And what He says,
when He speaks.
You abide in
Amen.
What He says.
Yes.
And if you step outside of that, you step outside of His will, and He says, fear Him not who can kill the body, but fear Him who can kill the body and cast the soul into hell. That's my fear, where I cross a line with Him, where He goes, I'm done with you, like He did Saul. Saul prophesied.
Right.
He had the Holy Spirit on him. Is not Saul one of the prophets?
Right.
And what does he do? I'm done with you.
Yeah.
It's over for you. I will never speak to you again.
Right.
And that guy right now is burning
again.
Yeah.
But how can you have fear of God when all this contemporary songs are about Jesus?
Yeah.
He's my boyfriend.
Yeah.
Oh.
And you're treating God like your buddy.
Yeah.
He's your,
yep.
You know, your kind of hot guy to hang out with.
Yep.
You're
the
really
big guy.
This movie.
The sovereignty, the holiness, that, you know, like the First Great Awakening, people were taught certain things that they were clinging onto the pillars because of the fear of God.
Yeah.
But contemporary Christianity, at least modern evangelicals, even some part of the
Absolutely.
You don't have that sense.
They make Him our equal, Walt.
Right.
They make Him a human like us, our
yes.
equal. That's what these other versions do instead of putting Him where He belongs.
Right.
Yes, He became a man like me, but He is where He belongs,
right.
On the throne and on the throne of my heart, and I bow to Him. I'm not equal to Him, never.
Well, just real quick before we move on. Now, the just shall live by faith, Hebrews 11, 38. Just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them
25, we all know the verse, not forsaking the assembly. But if you keep reading at the end of Hebrews,
yes,
he says, but we are not as them who fall back.
Right.
So in other words, not forsaking, not assembling can cause somebody to fall back. Yeah. And what is the warning in the last days? There will be a falling away. That's not Buddhist.
No.
That's not Hindus.
We have
those are
seen
people in the church.
So many times in the church, folks just kind of get wishy-washy about attending. Well, I'd rather do this. I'd rather do that. Before you know it, they have fallen, backslid all the way out of
that's
the church.
Right out of his will.
Right out of his will.
But there's a continuation of service in God's kingdom. It's like he doesn't want somebody that's going, you know, to serve him, you know, up to this point and stop.
Yeah, that's right.
You can see that with the angels. It's like the fallen angels.
That's right.
I can do it
anymore.
There's
no word.
You're out. There's no place for them.
That's right.
Well, when someone falls away, when someone pulls away, it is very common for them to take people with them.
Yes.
Or to make the walk of those around them much more difficult.
Absolutely.
Because of the sorrow of watching a brother or a sister. Right?
Right.
So it's more than just that.
Bill, and then Mike. And then
Proverbs says in verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of
the
knowledge.
Yes.
The fools despise wisdom and instruction.
Yeah. Amen.
And the knowledge is a Holy Spirit.
It's a Holy Spirit word.
Yes.
Go ahead, Mike.
Did Judas kill Lily?
He never bought it. He never bought it. He knew who he was, because Judas is the devil. But he never bought it.
If he had bought it and still committed the act that he did and asked for forgiveness, do you think he could have forgiven?
Well, I think Judas was already set in stone.
It could have been, but these things had to be fulfilled that the scripture would be whole.
Jesus Christ knew who Judas is.
These things had to happen that the scripture be fulfilled.
But I think if you're talking about can a brother be restored?
Yes.
Can a believer be restored?
I think
that sounds more like that.
And we'll get into sinning against a brother.
Peter denied Christ, the difference being Judas is the devil from the beginning, but Jesus said, I prayed for you,
and
your faith
will
not fail.
That's right.
Peter was a true believer, and therefore God was able to.
Absolutely. And even when the one was the same desires to sin, I'm not going to allow it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to allow it.
He fell, but he didn't fall away.
That's right.
Right.
He fell towards.
Right. There's a difference between falling away and falling into.
That's right.
Christ for you that he would repent, and David would repent.
Right.
It's foreknowledge. Okay, so one more. John 16. So, like I said, these are the promises. This is a promise that God is going to give you the Holy Spirit, and you abide in him, he'll abide in you, and you'll continue. Verse 16, 12. You have many things that I say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you in all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, for he will show you things to come. And he shall glorify me, Jesus Christ, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. So there you go. There's the promise throughout history that God was going to give the believer a spirit of truth that was going to guide him. So, Galatians 5, this spirit is supposed to produce that, right? Galatians 5, 22. Lance, you want to read? 5:22-26.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another.
So there you go. This promise that he gives us, it produces something.
Right.
And so now you have nine things mentioned there.
Mm-hmm.
What is nine women?
Birth.
Birth.
This one, yes.
Nine. 9 is a name, a new word. The number, so the number, so there's a numerical number in your Bible. 9 is the number of new birth. So there you go. This Holy Spirit, we are born again by the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ, and it produces fruit. So there's so much going on here.
And this cannot happen unless the believer dies self. So when many times we see God as being kind of rough. You know, you got to do it this way.
That's right.
But this is the joy that was set before him. To have a relationship with those that walk in this, that at the end he comes back and brings home. It is that true believer's heart filled with the Spirit of Christ, filled with the Spirit of God, and serving him. That is the joy that was set before him. That is why he works so hard, and we have to die to self, and it's so painful, because we cannot get to that until we go through the death.
And so here you go. I mean, are we doing this on my own? Am I doing this on my own?
No.
Well, I got to go to church Sunday, you know. I'm just trying to be holy. No, I'm being led by something outside of me that is in me that says, hey, get together with these people, love them.
There should be a want to.
Exactly.
If you don't want to, then please don't come.
That's right.
All right, if you don't want to be here, don't be here.
But if you don't, there's something wrong with you.
Amen, right. If you
there
don't
are some tough days. I put it out there that there are days I come because I am being obedient.
Right.
That I don't want my emotions to show up.
Well, flesh is weak.
When I'm feeling raw.
Flesh is weak,
yeah.
Yes, and exposure and vulnerability are difficult to do.
Absolutely.
And yet that's what we are called to do, right, to one another. So I'm just saying that.
So that's what I say. I mean, there's clearly two spirits. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be changed. This is the evidence that there's something different inside of me dwelling, that I'm not the same person I was 30 years ago. So if you look at verse 18 in Galatians 5, so now look at this. But if we be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. For the works of the flesh are manifest, made known, the works of the flesh, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom. 18 things there mentioned. Six plus six plus six. These aren't, so there you go. What is number 18? There's an answer to you. Come on.
So I say that you're saying there's nine degrees of the fruit. There's 9 months, you know, for a woman to carry a bird.
Yeah.
Are you saying that those are traits to get us to the birth of that kingdom?
Well, absolutely. I mean, these are supposed to be some of the evidence in the believer's life that you're gentle, your goodness, your faith, your peace, your loving, you're joyful, you're long-suffering. These are supposed to be some of the evidences that you are a believer. Now, I believe there's more than this, but I think he uses the number 9 here because it's a new birth.
And there are things that change your life. If you're joyful, there should be a change in your life because of the joy that's in you.
That's right.
If you have peace, then you don't get all riled up and freaked out over everything. You got peace in the midst of all this stuff. You go through those things, and as you grow into them, I won't say you achieve them, but you grow into them.
That's right.
They're already yours, but you grow into it.
Yeah.
I can buy you a child a pair of number 9 shoes, right? But they only has a size 3 foot. Well, sooner or later, his foot's going to grow into that if he continues to live.
There you go. So he talks about that you bear the fruit.
Right.
He's producing it.
Yes.
He is producing these fruits. As long as you are being obedient to him, he's producing these fruits in your life. Mm-hmm. You bear them.
Right.
And then he starts purging things away.
Right.
See, we get this idea that we fall. Well, I'm not. Yes, you are. If your sin doesn't bother you, you've got a problem.
Right. Amen.
If it does bother you, you know you're on the right page with God.
Mm-hmm. One more thing. You really need to study numbers in the Bible. Galatians is the 9th book of the New Testament.
Yeah.
God did that on
purpose.
Wow. that's why I say even numbers, they just don't mean the numbers like on your fingers.
Right.
They are dimensional numbers. There's more to them than just that.
And you're told to count things.
That's
yeah.
right. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. So, well,
Nancy's jumping.
I was curious about the fear of the Lord in the book of Proverbs, so I counted all of the fear of the Lord in there, and I came up with 12. And then I was thinking, I believe 12 is government, and also
yeah.
you take 1 and 2 and add that, you got 3, which is Trinity. So
yeah.
it's a complete picture.
Yeah, that's what I say. I think we're starting to really understand here numbers,
mm-hmm.
that they're not just numbers. There's more to them than that.
Right.
Well, Ephesians 5:8-11.
For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them.
Mm.
So, there you go.
Real quick, rather do what?
Yeah.
Rather do what?
That's right.
What was that word? Instead of being part of the works of darkness, we're supposed to start with N and ends with oof.
And there it says sometimes you were in darkness.
Were.
But now you're in the light. And then it says the fruit of the Spirit. The
yeah.
fruit. So you can see, this is the first fruit that has been given to mankind,
yes.
the Holy Spirit. Christ is the first fruits. He didn't need the Holy Spirit.
Right.
He already had the Holy Spirit, but he gives us. So what is he the first fruits of? He's the first fruits of the resurrection.
Right.
Fruits. It doesn't say first fruit.
Right.
It says fruits. He is the first fruits of the resurrection, meaning there's more resurrections coming. So we are given that Holy
yeah.
Spirit
yeah.
until the resurrection. It's just bullseye. Okay, so turn back one page to Ephesians 4:8-13. Here we go. So here's your gifts. Here's how God works. He promised to give you a Spirit. That Spirit is supposed to produce fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, he gives men gifts to go out into the world and to reach other people with these fruit. Ephesians 4:8. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascendeth on high, he let captivity get captive and gave gifts unto men. This is what Jesus said. I'm going away. I'm going to give you the gift. Right? Okay, now that he ascended is but he that also descended into the lower parts of the earth, and he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, and for the work of the ministry, and for edifying of the body of Christ. Until
mm-hmm.
we come into the unity of faith and of the knowledge, it's the Holy Spirit word, of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, resurrected, into a measure of stature of fullness of Christ, that we henceforth no more are children tossed to and fro
Amen.
And carried about with every wind of doctrine.
Right.
What separates us from people being led by every wind of doctrine?
This. We're anchored to.
Right? This.
Yeah.
The Bible. This is the doctrine of Jesus Christ. I think, I might be wrong, Doug. I think the doctrine is singular in the Bible. I don't think it's plural.
Until you get to doctrines
of
demons.
That's
right.
That's right. So doctrines of devils are, well, my name's Joseph Smith, and you need this book.
All kinds of different things. All kinds of devices.
Yeah.
One way, multiple ways.
And here you go. To me, Doug, I get the Buddhists and the Hindus that those are doctrines of devils. I'm talking about the ones that have infiltrated the church. That's right. Lasciviousness. You could loose live however you want. And isn't that what we see, Walt, in the Christian community today? Well, go live how you want. That's my girlfriend. You know, we're living together. You know, it's fine because God understands. You have no fear of God.
Now, you only went through like half of verse 14.
Okay. Go ahead, Curtis.
Okay, we henceforth, this is the beginning of it, be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up together into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, For whom the whole body is fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of the every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of it of itself in love. The unity of the body.
That's
when
right.
we forsake the assembly, when we stop coming together,
right.
when we decide to do other things, then we're messing up some
That's
whole
me.
Things.
You're not supposed to be a Lone Ranger Christian.
Amen.
You're not. A Lone Ranger had Tonto.
Yeah.
Even he had somebody. But this idea that, you know, well, you know, and most of it is because they're offended.
Right.
You know what I mean? Why? He doesn't agree with my doctrine, so I'm not going to go to that church anymore.
But the whole thing, so this whole thing with Zoom, so I was a part of a church where it went to Zoom, which 99% of them did.
Right.
So then people are reinterpreting, forsake not that we can assemble via Zoom. I understand sometimes there's circumstances you can't get together, but to say, like, that's really okay with God. You can, 2 years,
right?
There's some mega churches that they still have
still
together.
Have
right?
together.
So,
yeah.
like, but we're still assembling virtually.
No, you're not.
Is that what you meant?
Yeah.
How do you do communion? How do you do baptism?
Exactly.
It really is about subtle perception. And
right.
I think the reason it's so important to understand that is to understand we are all vulnerable.
Right.
We all get here. There are times I have come here and I've said something and I have been corrected. That I could have gone through subtle deception.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't completely turned away. I just had an idea that was not right.
Right.
And it was corrected. And so I think it's recognizing who we are in him and that we are vulnerable. We are all vulnerable.
And you could have responded one of two ways. Accept it and grow, or reject it and
yes.
die.
That's right.
Yeah,
yeah, and Walt said it too. We looked at how communion is actually fulfilling these feasts. Remember, that was a great study. How do you have communion online? How do you break bread online? You're supposed to be in the presence of one another.
Mm-hmm.
Christ didn't do it online.
Here's another little twist where the churches that are gathered together, you have the vaccinated side and the unvaccinated side. The masked side and the unmasked side. They come to the same building, but there's still the division in the body.
That's right.
You're unclean because you're not like me.
Well, that's going to be clearer, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It destroys the unity of the body.
Right? Exactly. I mean, one, when he gathers everybody together,
mm-hmm.
when he appears and he gathers everybody together, and we go into the wedding feast, is it going to be virtual? I mean, this is ridiculous. This is what he does. He gets us to know one another, to look at each other's faces. We've cried in here over each other.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know that person online. You have no idea.
And you don't need a building, because I think if once all the buildings, if suppose that they do kind of lose their status for 5 months, whatever that plays out, you know, the early Anabaptists, they fellowship in forests and caves, near streams of water. You don't, as long as the people, which is the ecclesia,
right?
Call out.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
That's right. Ecclesia is congregation. It's an assembly.
Assembly.
And what did he call them in Egypt? That came out of it. He called them the church,
right.
The ecclesia, and the wilderness.
Right.
So it's the same plan in the Old Testament as it's in the New Testament. We are to gather together. He was. Did he bring them out of Egypt virtually?
No.
I see the devil's hand in this. I see the devil's hand in Zoom meetings, virtual church. You know, like I say, man, there's a time and a place for it. Asha and Mark, they're watching us, but they're part of here. They come here. They fellowship here. They've moved to another place, but they're still part of us. We know that.
There's a lot in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16.
Go ahead.
It's saying, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love.
Mm-hmm.
We're just talking about fitly joined. It's a close-knit.
That's right.
Yeah. It's, and everybody plays a role.
Amen.
According to the effectual working and the measure of every part, that would have to do with sometimes people don't have something to give.
That's right.
Then the other person gives and bring
right.
that person up.
Yeah.
It's a body that moves, you know, in unity. So
either, and it could, and that could be an earthly need or a spiritual need,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah. So, and so if the body, if we're the body, he's the head.
And that account, it gives an account too of that they have love among themselves.
That's
like
right.
they, like for
one another.
Yeah, you can see it.
That's
you
right.
clearly see that those people stand out. You know.
Yeah.
That's wonderful because we're talking about fellowship today, the pillar of fellowship. And so the reason we gather together, Kevin doesn't come just to get blessed. Kevin comes to join with another person and strengthen that person. We come together as a body of believers, not for ourselves, but for everybody
That's
else.
Right.
You can't do that on Zoom. You can't do
That's
that
right.
through the devil's workshop.
You can't do that sitting at home.
You can't do that. Amen.
Right?
And it's a way of making an incremental step. Try to pull the mislead the church into
yes.
acquiescing and accepting this.
Yes.
Right.
And once it's accepted and it's been established,
exactly.
the next step is out the door.
Right.
Exactly.
Out
exactly.
the door.
How do you serve somebody 20 seats back at
right.
a concert going on?
Yeah.
And you
yeah.
sit and just wave your hands and say,
ceilings
you
are painted black,
you
smoke
nothing.
Machines are going.
Yeah, and then you leave and
look, what's happened here within the last 2 hours. We're going back and forth, ironing, sharpening iron. We're all on the same page. There's a unity here. We're not arguing with each other. We're all common, have all things in common together. You don't do this by if I sat at home today, and Walt
right.
sat at home, and Curtis sat at home. Well, you know, I'm saved, but I don't think you need to go to
yeah.
church.
Well, I don't think any of us do that. That has to come from Christ.
It's absolutely.
If this would not work. Without some kind of like divine intervention.
I mean, look at how different we are.
It would.
You can't get this many family members together and agree on it. Right? There'd be food fights. I like the Lions. Why I like the Rams? I don't like turkey. Yeah, right? You can't get a family, but yet we're all together here, iron sharpening iron in unity because. You know, we said it before that we are commanded to love.
Yes.
It's not a natural response.
Amen.
I am commanded
yeah.
to love you jerks.
Yeah.
You misfits.
Are we all misfits? All right. Go ahead.
So I think this is a good place. I see a bill, but
the command to love is a decision, not an emotion.
That's
right.
right. That's right. And the world has love wrong.
Yeah.
Christ
the world
is right. Give of yourself, not expecting anything in return. Nancy.
Loving Christ provides or produces excitement
Absolutely.
In the environment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sharing.
Yeah. And don't you see that here? We just love him. We just love him that we're, you know, I ain't say it with Lance all the time. I'm sick of myself. I want more of him. I want to live a more righteous life, a more godly life. I want to honor him with my life. I think this is a good place to stop because it's about what he's going to preach on. But next week, we're going to get into the early and the latter rain. We're going to get into the number 49,
right.
the number 50, 400. Don't forget, what did Jesus say? How many times shall you forgive your brother? 7970,
yes.
49, 100, the number 100 is the number for reward.
Yeah.
What did Jesus? What did Daniel 9:24 say? 770s are determined to bring an end. So there are some numbers going on here. We're going to look at the year of Jubilee. That's the number 50, which is the number of the Holy Spirit was given at Pentecost. That's the giving of the Holy Spirit. And what do we have in, if you want to read ahead to Leviticus 25? The year of Jubilee, every 50th year. But then there's a year of Jubilee coming too. So there's some great things to look at.
Pay attention to every number you
read. There is something to numbers.
Yeah.
Whether you understand them or not, when you're reading your Bible, count things.
Mm-hmm.
Or even write that number down. You might not understand it until you read it somewhere else.
Right.
Right.
I look at Genesis. That's a good place to start.
Absolutely.
If you're looking for a meaning of a number.
Yeah, for anything, Genesis, the meaning of a word, the meaning of numbers, typology,
names.
That's always
names.
A great place to
yeah.
start.
Names.
Yeah, names. Absolutely. So we're going to get into more of this. We're going to talk about the early rain and the latter rain, and we're going to get into numbers. But I think this is a good place to stop because there was a lot of talk here about the relationship.
Yeah.
Relationship with one another and the relationship with
the Holy Spirit. Spirit's already built this thing. I don't think so.
Right.
I need to stand up and preach. You know? If we just go home and chew what we've already talked about, you know, you didn't have one. So, amen.
All right.
Yeah.
You want to pray?
Yeah.
Anybody else? Is that? We're good? Lord God, I just thank you for who you are. We just thank you, Lord God, that you have given us this perfect book, that in this book we see your Son, that without him we can know nothing. And Lord, that we are starting to understand these things here, starting to understand the depthness of Scripture, that even us as we read it in our simplicity, Lord God, that you open up the whole realm of Scriptures, that it is a spiritual, dimensional book, that you can give us understanding, that we would draw nearer to you in these last days, Lord. As this world is getting darker and darker, cause us to be lights in a dark world. Cause us to be a testimony into a lost and dying world, Lord. And we do pray that you would send people to us and that you would bring us into the realm of people that are looking, that are searching, that we would preach the gospel to them. It is for us to preach the gospel of grace to every man. You have not returned yet, which means that the offer is still there for a lost and dying world, for brothers, sisters, parents, children, family members, friends, Lord, that you would open up the gospel to a lost and dying world. And I thank you for the unity that you have brought here. Lord, that we would continue, that we know that there are unclean, wicked devils out there, Lord, running through this world, and it's getting waxing colder and colder. Lord, please, we know that this is a building. Don't let them in here. Keep the unity in here. Do not let people led by devils come in here and disrupt the unity that is here, Lord. They're out there. Do not let them in this place. Do not let them into our hearts. Let us lift our hearts above this world and the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, that you would sit on the throne of our hearts and that we would seek the things that are at the end and not at the things that were at the beginning. Thank you for your kindness, your mercy, in Jesus' precious name. I do lift up Curtis, Lord, as he brings forth more of your